Sonic.
Hey everyone, just taking a quick 15 seconds to let you know that my new book, The Fitness Mindset, Eat for Energy, Train for Attention, Manage Your Mindset, and Reap the Results, which hit the bestseller list within 24 hours of its release, is now available to buy on Amazon. So if you're looking for everything you need to get into incredible shape and the mindset to keep it forever, be sure to check it out. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset. With your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is a little bit of a different one. I'm going to split this one into two sections. I was very fortunate in a recent game where I was coaching myself and Robbie Henshaw, who plays international rugby for Ireland. We were coaching the Ireland amateur rugby team take on the English amateur rugby team, who were coached by Ross Edgley, my friend Ross Edgley, and Dylan Hartley, who plays international rugby for England. So I was very, very fortunate to catch up with my boy Robbie and do an interview with him, talking through everything through training, nutrition, his lifestyle with playing international rugby for Ireland, and the advice that he would have offered his younger self and any rugby players or any sports people in general. He played a lot of GAA underage too. So I'm going to put that at the end of today's episode. So it's going to be a little bit of a different one, and I'm going to use a topic at the start, how to build your body and get better at your sport, and then finish it for the second half with an interview from Ireland rugby international Robbie Henshaw. So I hope you guys enjoy. Okay, so part one of today's episode, how to build your body and get better at your sport. So for those of you who've been following me a while, my GA Lean Body Program, which is probably my flagship program now. Now I've got different variations for different sports, but GA is the bread and butter. It's the sport that I played myself all through the years. I've coached the Galway Minors, got to the All-Ireland Final last year, doing their fitness programming. I've worked with inter-county teams, senior teams, a lot of inter-county and senior players particularly coming through my programs. And as somebody that traveled the world as a competitive fitness model and a professional bodybuilder doing those, living that lifestyle. I was very, very frustrated when I was 19, 20 in terms of how to build a body composition so that I looked better, but also improve my performance on the pitch. One of the frustrating paradoxes that I used to struggle with when I was younger was when I would go to the top strength and conditioning coaches, and I was working with some, because I came up through the underage system with Galway, we were working with some top strength and conditioning coaches, and the same with our club. And they would always tell me that, look, it doesn't matter how you look, it's about improving your performance. And then they'd give me a program that helped me improve my performance. When I would go to competitive bodybuilders or personal trainers, they would tell me the reverse and the opposite, that, look, I don't know how to get your sport any better, but here's how you look better. And then when I would read around the topic, I figured there was nothing out there that was doing that. So effectively, the GA Lean Body Program was created off the back of the program I wanted at 22, 23, 24, so that you can look the way you want to look. The GA Bikini Program is the same, the female version, where you can look the way you want to look, but actually improve your sport as well. So I'm going to spend today's podcast explaining about how to change your body composition and improve your performance on the pitch so that you get the best of both worlds. So effectively, I'm going to pull out and use my GA Lean Body Program as context for a lot of the answers I'm going to use. There's different variations depending on what your sport is, depending on your goals. Your program is going to be completely different if you're a beginner who wants to get faster and bigger for hurling compared to an advanced trainer who's trying to get slimmer, get a six-pack, and build your strength so you can break into your inter-county team or your senior team. So there's different variations of the program. So I've said on the podcast before, and this is irrelevant of sport or whatever it is that you're goals are, you should always design your training program and nutritional plan in alignment with whatever your specific goals are. But there are a couple of general tips that most people can apply straight away that I'm going to share in today's episode around training, nutrition, and supplements, and hopefully it provides a lot of value. So the first thing is, training is going to be based around whatever your specific goal is. If you're trying to build muscle and get faster, you want to make sure that you're building a program around that. If you're trying to get leaner and stronger, you want to build a program around that. So if you're trying to get bigger and faster, you want to have some form of hypertrophy within your program. You want to be working within those 8 to 10 bodybuilding parameters, maybe using some slow negatives and playing with tempos so that you can tear more fibers down and then repair it back with protein and nutrition and amino acids so that you're able to build more muscle. You're also going to be focused on getting things like your glutes to activate and fire faster so that you're able to take off quicker. You can do both. You can build muscle and you can get faster. One of the biggest misconceptions that athletes have and GAA players have that I work with, not so much now because a lot of you have been following me a while, you know, particularly on my Snapchat where I do my Q&As, you know that you can have the best of both worlds. You just need to design your program around it. But there was a misconception, and I had this for a long period of time, that to build muscle, you were going to get slower. So you had to either trade off your pace in order to get faster. That's not necessarily true. Now, if you build muscle through pure bodybuilding parameters and pure hypertrophy parameters where you're doing one plane of motion and you're not doing any direct glute work or you're not doing any loosening hip flexor work, you're possibly going to get a lot slower because muscle that's been built in one plane of motion is not going to be very functional on the pitch. However, if you build muscle the right way with a good nutritional plan, enough calories, enough amino acids to repair the fibers you tear, and then you build in a strength and conditioning aspect so that you're able to get faster, get your glutes activated and firing quicker, and keeping everything loose around your hip flexors and quads so your kinetic chain and everything in that region is loose, then you can definitely do both. You can build muscle and you can get faster at the same time. You just need to make sure that you're doing the right training system and the right training parameters to do that. The same as if you want to get leaner and stronger. You want to make sure that you're in a slight deficit or you're getting a deficit from your training, so you're not eating too many calories, but you're getting enough protein to repair and keep your metabolism elevated so that doesn't slow down. And then you have a slightly lower rep range in your gym, focusing on compound lifts, your bench press, your squat, some variation of a deadlift, depending on the version of the program you may be on or whatever program you're on, and using those compound rows and pull-ups to build more strength in a 6 to possibly 8 rep range parameter, 5x5 in some cases, using a traditional strength parameter workout, and you're building your entire program off the back of whatever your end goal is. So I regularly say on the podcast that you can't hit a target you can't see. So the number one thing is ask yourself, what is it that you're trying to achieve? What is your end goal? Because you can have it all. You just have to make sure that you gear everything towards that. If you want to be bigger and you want abs and you want to be faster and stronger, you can do that, but you have to design your entire training program around it. There's a couple of things that most athletes will benefit from, and I won't go into too much detail on the specifics of each person's goal in today's episode because it may not be relevant to you, but there's a couple of things that come across all the variations in my GAA lean body program, and the same in people that are in rugby versions of the program, soccer versions of the program. Things that will support everybody that's in a sport where you're sprinting and you need to be stronger and you need to be able to move faster. Number one is going to be focusing on your compound lifts. So when you focus on your military press, your bench press, your squat, your deadlift to a degree, your dips, your pull-ups, or your rows, your compound lifts, your multi-joint movements that are going to recruit more fibers and more muscles to move the weight are going to make you stronger on the pitch, and they're also going to build a bigger frame if you're working within the right rep ranges and you're using your nutrition to refuel after workouts. So I would always base your program, regardless of what your goals are, to get bigger, leaner, or stronger, or a combination of all three, or a combination of other goals, always base your program around those compound lifts and have them at the start of your workouts when you're at your most fresh and you need to be able to move the weight, as much weight as you can, to fail at the given rep range using perfect form. So building your program around your compound lifts is always going to be number one, regardless of what your goals are. Number two then is to add in some form of strength and conditioning, style, parameters and workouts, movements where you're moving from side to side. You're doing cable chops or dumbbell wood chops, or you're doing a form of plyometrics, or you're doing glute focused reverse lunges or barbell box squats that are going to allow your glutes to activate and fire faster so that you're able to twist, turn and take off quicker on the pitch regardless of what your sport is. So the number two thing is to add in some form of strength and conditioning on top of the compound lifts you're using. You may also add in some hypertrophy parameters. So one of my favorite things that I do in my GAA lean body program, and I do this in my own workouts sometimes, if you're following me on Snapchat, I put my workouts up on Snapchat, is I will add in hypertrophy parameters, but I'll do strength and conditioning moves within that. So I'll do a dumbbell wood chop, I'll do a renegade row, and I'll do a box jump, but I'll work within that 8 to 10 rep range parameter, and then I'll do them as a circuit. So you're getting the best of both worlds. You're tearing fibers down in a parameter and in a hypertrophy range that's going to allow you to tear more fibers so that you can build more muscle, assuming you repair incorporate with your nutrition, but you're also doing movements that are going to translate onto the pitch and work your body in different angles so that you're not getting stiff and rigid from just doing one plane of motion. So the number two tip is to add in some form of strength and conditioning into your program as well. Number three then is very much for the people who are looking to get leaner or lose body fat or just change the composition of your body so that you have a harder or more toned physique. And that is adding in some form of metabolic conditioning. My favorite style of metabolic conditioning is effectively where you're getting your heart rate up and you are able to tear a lot of fibers down and also increase your heart rate so that you can burn more calories and lose more body fat faster. One of the reasons it works so well is to get your body using fat as a fuel source. There's a lot of different factors that come into play and the physiological responses that you'll have, an increase in lipolysis where you release fat from the cells. But the main kind of two ways in training, and to keep it simplified, is one, increasing your heart rate. So when you get your heart rate at 70% or above of its max, and to calculate your maximum heart rate is 220 minus your age. So to get to 70% or above of that number, you're going to be in your quote unquote fat burning zone. The other way is to tear a lot of fibers down so that when you're finish your workout, your body has to use the calories you eat to repair from the workout and can't store it or won't store it or is unlikely to store it as body fat. So they are kind of the two main ways in training that you can change your body composition pretty quickly. One of the reasons that people use cardio, traditional cardio, particularly low intensity steady state cardio, is getting your heart rate to 70% or above, which is effectively putting you into your fat burning zone. One of the reasons that people do resistance training, which is weight training or some variation of that, or body weight resistance, is down to tearing more fibers so that you can burn more calories when you rest and when you're sitting at home watching your favorite TV show or listening to your favorite podcast or reading your favorite book. They're kind of the two ways. So a lot of the goals comes when you merge them together. And metabolic conditioning, assuming you're using the right movements, is a combination of both. You're effectively getting your heart rate way above 70% or more. You're getting it to that 80, 90% rep range. So you're burning more calories during your workout. But you're also working within ranges that are going to tear more fibers down. So you're doing your variations of your push-ups with 20, 25 reps, you're doing bodyweight squats or reverse lunges, you're doing box jumps, you're doing some variation of a glute exercise in a higher rep range that burns like crazy. So you're hitting it from the best and you're getting it from the best of both worlds. You're elevating your heart rate to burn more calories and you're tearing more fiber so you burn more calories while you rest. Metabolic conditioning is an incredible way of doing this. So what I would advise, again, there's loads of different variations of my programs and loads that you'll see online, I'm sure, but a simple one is starting point, pick two exercises like a bodyweight squat and push-ups, do 25 reps of both, four rounds, fast as you can, keeping perfect form throughout. That's a nice metabolic conditioning workout that you can add to the end of your any session, and it's going to get your heart rate up, it's going to tear more fibers, it's also going to make you a little bit stronger because you're working for your own bodyweight resistance. So that is the last thing I would add in terms of your training. After your training then is going to be your nutrition. So again, it's all about reverse engineering whatever your end goal is. Always have a nutritional plan based off your specific goals. If you're trying to build muscle, you need to go into a calorie surplus. If you're trying to lose body fat, you need to go into a calorie deficit. If you're trying to maintain and just drop body fat, you might want to be around your maintenance, give or take 200 or 300 calories either side, and then using your training program to get you into a deficit. Always use your nutrition based off whatever your specific goals are. The truth is, it's hard to recommend a one size fits all with nutrition because everyone is very, very different. I have different recipes that I use with different people that I'm working with coming through my programs. I have different food sources, different kinds of carb loads and glycogen store loads that people do the day before games, different carb cycling systems depending on each person's goals. But there is one trial and true method that will definitely help any athlete listening. And that is making sure that you're basing your entire nutritional plan around whole, real foods that gives your body energy, and then making sure you're keeping your carbohydrates high before your big games so that you're keeping your glycogen stores full and you're never going into a game basically running off a half-empty tank of gas. So using real whole foods, the foods that give you energy, your processed foods, your microwavable foods, bin those as much as you can as an athlete because they're not going to support you in terms of increasing your energy levels and they're not going to give you all the vitamins and minerals that your body needs in order to perform at your best. your carbohydrate load than the day before is very much down to however your body digests them and what your goals are. If you're a hurler trying to build a lot of muscle, or you're a footballer trying to lose a lot of body fat, your carb intake is going to be completely different the day before a game. But the one thing that holds true is you want to make sure you load up your glycogen stores. Your glycogen, your carb load, is effectively like your petrol or diesel or your gas for your car. You don't want to go on a massively long car journey with a half empty tank of gas. You want to fill it up before you go anywhere. And glycogen and carb loads are effectively the same. So you'll hear even in Robbie's interview where he talks about his carb load before big international games. So we'll give you a little bit of context on what foods he uses there. And that's going to come down to personal preference on whether you use simple sugars, complex carbohydrates, or a combination of both. And then it's going to be down to figuring out your best system and then doubling down on that. But the one thing that I would advise is experiment with the different carb sources you use and then double down on the best ones. I know myself, sweet potato and basmati rice are my best carb load foods. When I used to compete, when I used to play GEA, when I was playing consistently, when I was playing any sport, them foods always worked best for me. But you may find that new potatoes or baby new potatoes and brown rice is your best food, or quinoa and couscous. You may find that you've got different carb sources that give you more energy and work better for you. So experiment with them, factor them into your nutritional plan the day before a game, and then obviously make sure you're balancing out the other macros, balancing out the other calories, so that you're ready to rock coming into your game on a Saturday or Sunday, and you're not going into it with a half empty tank of gas, so that you're able to perform at your absolute best. Okay, so that's everything from the training and nutrition part of part one of this episode. So hopefully you took a lot of value in terms of how to change your body composition, how to improve your performance on the pitch, so you get the best of both worlds. So now I am delighted to introduce my guest, Robbie Henshaw, who plays international rugby for Ireland. He is one of the stars of the Ireland international team, an athlete, a background in GAA, who's now one of the number one rugby players in the country, and probably in the world if Ireland can keep going the way they're going with world rankings. So a massive thank you for Robbie for coming on. And if you're a GAA player or a soccer fan or a rugby fan or whatever your sport is, hopefully you'll get a lot of value from what Robbie's talking about. So without further ado, here is Robbie Henshaw. Robbie, talk us through, what does your week look like before a big game in terms of training, in terms of how you eat? What does your actual week look like before your biggest games?
Yeah, well, before the biggest games, I always on a Sunday evening or an early Monday morning, I'd always sit down and just jot down like a plan in terms of the week building up to an international or a big European game. So like what I want to cover off in my training, like the extras I want to focus on, just the bits and pieces like the mental side to things. So like getting my bit of psychology done during the week with the psychology coach. And nutrition, nutrition as well. I have to look at my diet and make sure that I'm on top of that as well. And also like the rest days in terms of like taking a day off during the week of an international or that. So it's first and foremost, I'd always sit down and just plan out what my week will be structured like. So say we start training on a Monday, train Monday, Tuesday, and we have our day off on a Wednesday, come back in on Thursday, captain's run Friday and the game Saturday. So it's a heavy enough week, and I think it's nearly more important to get your time away from training as well, because when you're training it's pretty intense and it's fully focused, fully driven for all the time. And I think when you go away from the setup, you definitely need to just get away and switch off.
Yeah. And on your Wednesday of your rest day, do you do anything active recovery wise, or is that a complete switch off day the week before games? What do you do yourself?
Generally I'd usually go to the swimming pool and just have a dip and go into the sauna and just recover, really, because the Monday, Tuesday is always the hardest part of the week, because you get all your kind of aerobic work done there and all your physical work done. So you lift heavy early in the week and you run a lot early in the week, and then it tapers off towards the end of the week. So I'd usually on a Wednesday I'd completely switch away from the rugby side of things, but I'd go and look after the body, do a stretch and get into the pool and just recover.
Brilliant. Is there anything you do then in terms of your mindset, or do you do any sort of visualization, or do you just keep focused on the game? What do you do in that week leading up? Is there anything, you have any routine, or is it just stay focused for the game?
Yeah, it's a bit of both, really. I think it comes down to the individual, but I myself, we do, well, as players, we do a lot of video analysis, and we look at other teams, and we look at ways we can exploit teams' weaknesses and opportunities on the pitch. So, yeah, definitely visualization in terms of how you can, I don't know, execute a play against a specific play against an opposition. How you can, I don't know, put in a hit in D, or how you can read what the attack is going to do in your defence. That comes down to visualisation and looking through video analysis of the other teams.
Brilliant. And what's your food look like then? Do you eat a lot of meals that week? Do you have a lot more carbohydrates? Does it change every game? Are you constantly trying to figure it out? Or do you have a set routine that you do with food that week?
Well, we're very spoiled out in camp in Carton House. We have a lot of variety of foods, so all the carbohydrates and protein you want and veg, so it's down to the individual, but I try to stay along the same kind of eat clean but eat well. You're doing a lot of training at the end of the day, so I don't really think it matters how much, I know people are kind of wary of how much carbs they take, but I think if you're working as hard as we work, I think we were told to get the carbs on mostly during the week. But coming up to the game, say the Friday night before a game is kind of called the carb loading phase. So that's where we eat ourselves to we pass out nearly with pasta and pancakes and stuff, just to fuel up for the next day. Because for an international, you know, you need the fuel on board, because come the 80th minute, you're definitely feeling like a lack of energy, and you need to kind of have that fuel on board.
Yeah, 100%. What's your favourite carb? Is it pancakes?
Pancakes. Banana. Brilliant. Pancakes.
I love it. That's amazing. Yeah. Okay, so what is then the day of the match? Do you have any routine in terms of what you do the day of the game, or do you literally just get up in the morning, stay focused on it, get your food in, or do you have any sort of routine? What does the game of international or European game look like for you? What does the day look like?
Yeah, I generally get up early enough, like so 8:30, 9:00. Firstly, we get our salts and we get our water on board firstly, weigh in and get a good breakfast. And then we usually, it's a couple hours break till the next meeting. So guys would usually go back to bed or go out for a stroll. It's really kind of, it's a build up. So you don't want to kind of hype yourself too early. So we generally tend to stay away from coffee and caffeine early in the morning, because you don't want to hit a lull or a down phase kind of in the afternoon. So kind of just chilled until about 12, say if the game time was 3:00, we have our meeting and our walkthroughs around 12:00, and then that's when it kind of starts to get ramped up a bit. And obviously there's always a buzz around the hotel when the supporters are there, so it kind of starts kicking on then, and that's when things get serious.
Do you take caffeine before you play the games then?
Yeah, I generally would. I'd have a cup of coffee beforehand and maybe a caffeine gum.
Yeah, brilliant. I love it. Okay, so we'll go away from your training week, because now we know everything that you do, training and eating, which is awesome to hear. Yeah. And a little bit, a couple of questions I'd like to ask you myself. If you could go back, you've done so much, Robbie, in terms of your international career, your rugby career. It's amazing to see. If you could go back to the Robbie of 18, is there any advice you'd offer him in terms of rugby tip, life tip, anything that you could go back and offer him?
I'd just be say, if whatever you're doing, I'd say just enjoy what you're doing, make the most of it, and I think if you work hard and if you're disciplined, you'll definitely see rewards at the end of the day. And I think it's kind of a lesson for everyone in terms of what you do. If you put the work in, you'll get the reward.
Yeah, and there was clearly testament to it. Yeah. And then tying in with that, is there any piece of advice you've ever got, Robbie, or maybe you've read it or consumed it from somewhere, or got it from a friend or a mentor or a coach? Any piece of advice that you got that stuck with you that you think has served you up to this point?
Yeah, I think thinking back to when I started, when I was 17, 18, coming into the Connacht setup, I remember my first coach, Eric Elwood, said to me, I know I was kind of like a little bit self-doubting myself because I was so young and not physically as developed as the other guys coming into the senior setup. So he said, listen, if you're good enough, you're old enough. And I remember that quote. He said it in the media, I think, as well. So that kind of stuck with me all the way up, and that kind of gave me a little bit of confidence to just to not kind of doubt myself.
Yeah, I love that. On tying into that then, that's obviously going to be one of the questions I think that you'll probably offer now. If you could offer two or three pieces of tips to any young rugby players, whether it be advice or something that you've done that's worked for you, what would you say to them if you were talking to any 16, 17 year old now, or any younger or even older? What advice would you offer to them?
I'd say, yeah, just enjoy playing rugby. It's an unbelievable sport. For me personally, I always played Gaelic along with rugby. I felt the two sports kind of complemented each other. So if you play Gaelic, try and play rugby as well, or vice versa. And yeah, basically at the end of the day, enjoy it. You know, you make lifelong friends from rugby, from sport in general. And you know, I still talk to the guys I played with when I was under 8.
Yeah.
So I don't know, just for a 16-year-old person playing rugby, I think enjoy it and work hard. And as I said, if you work hard, put the work in, and if you're disciplined, I think you'll see rewards.
Yeah, walking testament to that. All right, last question, Robbie, just because I know you're a massive Netflix fan. I know you'd switch off completely on a Sunday and it's your detox. Top three Netflix series that people need to watch.
I've been hearing a lot about Ozark. I've heard really good things. I'm going on to it now. Power, probably, and what I'm on now. And let me see. I'm not sure if it's on Netflix, but Stranger Things.
Okay.
I watched before, it's class, and Stranger Things 2 is coming out as well. So
that's 100% on that one. Yeah. So, Robbie, thank you so much. Awesome interview. I think people are going to get so much value from this. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much. Yeah. Cheers.